Luke chapter 22. As you're turning to Luke 22, I'm going to go ahead and start talking. That is, you would be surprised if you don't already know, but you started to pay attention and God pointed out to you the number of times prayer is mentioned in Scripture and how many times you see people praying, how it turned out, admonitions to pray. There are thousands of places that we could go. I have, with this one, included 6 messages to preach to you, so I'm not going to look at thousands. Those would take far too long. But it is amazing how many times prayer is mentioned in Scripture. If you haven't caught that, you need to, and you need to pay attention to it, because God knows that prayer is good for us. Now, you know that Jesus lived his life and ministry with his disciples, taught them, trained them, showed them how to pray. At one point, they asked him, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. And he's encouraging them to pray. He gives the Lord's Prayer for them. We know the Lord's Prayer, it's not just a thing you say, vain repetition. He actually warned about that. It's amazing how people have turned that into vain repetition. That's not the intent. There are lessons to learn from the Lord's Prayer. And after all of that teaching, one of the last lessons he wants to give to them while he's still alive. Think about that. One of the last lessons he wants to give to them. What would that be, Pastor Weiss? What would that last lesson be? Believe it or not, it would be on prayer. No, wait, didn't he spend John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 teach? Yeah, he did. But the last lesson after, you know what they left after that supper and where they went, and why they went there, and what he told them to do, and what he showed them they were supposed to be doing before he goes to the cross. Just think about the seriousness of that issue and that topic, how serious, if Jesus takes it that seriously, well, it's the last lesson. Do you remember what they said on their deathbed? The last lesson they taught you, what was the last thing your father taught you how to build, or the last thing your mother taught you how to bake? What's the last thing Jesus showed his disciples and they blew it? He did it right. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 39. Haven't even prayed yet. We're gonna. Luke 22, 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, and saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Then there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. Different reasons, because different gospels bring out different reasons. They're sorrow, they don't know what to say, they're sad, they're whatever. But in this case, it just happens to say sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and what does he tell them to do? What's his last physical, actual lesson with them before he goes to the cross and dies? Why sleepy? Rise and pray. Now, there's a thousand things that we could talk about. Why did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? And then what's he trying to get them to do here? And why did he say that same thing earlier about temptation in verse 40? Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then verse 46, why sleepy? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Man, there's a thousand things. And I encourage you to think about those things. We don't have time to think through all of them this morning, but wow, Jesus is trying to get them to pray. And so this prayer conference, I just want you to know, okay, hoop, holler, yippee-ki-yay, have a conference about Revelation and end times. I bet you'd probably have more people show up. But a conference on prayer, I'm glad you guys are here. But you know, like I do, this is probably not the most popular topic to draw in people from the community. A prophecy conference, that would draw in people. What about a conference on prayer? Did it work for Jesus trying to have a conference on prayer with his disciples? Think about that. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity. It is a privilege to be in your house. It's a privilege to be your disciple. It's a privilege for us to understand anything about prayer. It's a privilege for us to be able to have the chance to pray today in your house with your people, but mostly to talk to you like I'm doing right now. The fact that we could stop whatever we're doing at any time and talk to you. And there are so many things, Lord, that are run through my head right now. And I just pray that you'd help me, Lord, to say the things during this brief time that we have to challenge us all and help us to remember. Please guide this time. Help me to say what I need to say, not what I want to say. Please guide the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to understand that there are 1,000 ways, not only 1,000 times that the Lord tells you over and over again and again, and that's just a kind of a rough statement, to pray, and then examples to pray. But there's also, because of that, there are 1,000 ways the devil wants to keep you from praying and to stop you from praying. You'll fall asleep while you're praying. You'll be distracted while you're praying. You'll try to pray, and your cat will come in the room, little satanic beast that they are, and try to distract you from praying, or your dog will be barking, or you'll have to go to the bathroom, or, who knows what. You'll fall asleep. There's 1,000 things that could stop you from prayer, because I want you to understand how important not only this conference is, but how important prayer is. And not just at a conference, but on your own. If you pray and pray well and do a good job and you pray the next 2 days at this conference, it's great. What about Monday? Learning how to pray, I can't tell you how important it is. Now, again, sleep, we could talk about 1,000 things. I want you to think about just some things that I know and maybe some things you tell me later, maybe that you've experienced on your own, maybe something that's happened to keep you from praying on your own, okay? What about this? You've wasted your time because your prayers didn't get answered. The thing you were praying for and God knew you needed, nothing happened with that. Do you have any of that? Discouragement or whatever. Listen, I can give you the name of somebody that some people in this room would know who quit following God and quit going to church for quite some time because they were praying that their grandmother wouldn't die, and their grandmother died. By the way, do you realize your grandmother's going to die? I don't know when that is, but your grandmother's going to die. Do you know that someday I'm going to die? You know someday you're going to die? I don't understand people. Because they died when you didn't want them to? What, you think you're God? Or he's your puppet? It doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. But the devil trying to discourage people, what you prayed for, that didn't come to pass. Or here's another one. Oh, sovereignty of God. Pastor, don't you believe in sovereignty of God? Of course I do. Why did he tell you to pray? Is there anything you can do to affect God? Did Hezekiah? Did Moses? Moses, I'm going to paraphrase, stand aside, I'm going to wipe all those people out. Moses is like, okay, God, you're sovereign. I guess. Of course not. He fell on his face before God. I could give you thousands of examples in Scripture. But that this is what I'll call it, hyper-sovereignty of God. I'm not saying God's not sovereign. I'm not saying he doesn't know the beginning from the end. He is the beginning and the end. Yeah. And God knows, and he's in control of all things, and ultimately works all things together for good. Praise the Lord, Romans 8:28. But if you got this hyper-sovereignty of God, God's going to do whatever God's going to do. Why are you praying about it? That's a wrong attitude. God tells you to pray. Let me give you, if I can, in the time that I have, I'm giving you a bunch, but I'm going to try to give you three main things in this little time. First of all, just the fact that it's commanded by God should be enough. Prayer is commanded by God. Secondly, I want to give you prayer helps us. It changes us and it helps us. And thirdly, I'm going to give you something that some of you may have heard, you may have thought about it. I probably preached it to you at some point in the time that I was here. Maybe, again, some Sunday school teacher did or whatever. It's probably not brand new with me. I've never given it to you before. You've never heard it before. I don't think so. But I want to remind you that prayer is never forgotten before God. Prayer is never forgotten before God. Let's kind of dive into these things if I could. First of all, just the simple one. Like I told you, you guys know this. There are many, many places that we could go where we're just told by God to pray. And ladies and gentlemen, you know this. We all should get to the point in our lives where we're willing to do whatever God says, whether we understand the reasons for it or not. Right? We should be willing to. I'm not saying we are there. I'm just saying, okay, I know myself, and I tell myself I'm wrong often. Here's one of the ways I'm wrong often. I don't need to know why. Now, I'm going to preach to some messages to you in a little bit. The next two are going to be about why. why? Okay, so I'm actually going to try to encourage you with the next two messages, praying about why. But I do know this, at the same time, God wants me to get to the point where, because he said it, I do it. I mean, you probably didn't like that when you were kids. You know, why do I have to do that, Mom? Because I said so. All right, that may not work for your parents. You may not like it, and kids don't like it, and parents don't like saying it, maybe. But that should work that way with God. Because the truth is, are you going to understand why? But did you ever catch the fact that God never told Job why? He basically said, you wouldn't understand if I told you. Where were you and do you know how? Where were you when I made it and do you know how it works? How is it that the gestation period of a goat that lives on the mountains is that long? How does that one bring forth? Do you understand how it works? And were you there when I made it? I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. I have no idea why. Just because God said it should be enough. So this is okay. There's part of it. So that when I feel like it's not going to do any good, or I may not get what I'm asking for, or man, I'm hoping God will remember this prayer and maybe he's not even hearing me. And well, yeah, no, because the devil's right there to tell you, you sin too much. God's not listening to you. And I would tell you this, even if you got all the doubts in your mind, pray because God told you to. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Listen, because again, 1,000 things in your head, 1,000 things in mind. Well, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't pray because my heart's not right anyway. My heart is evil. My heart's not right. I can't do anything right. And the truth is, Pastor Weiss, I can claim scripture. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So my heart's not even right, and the Lord's not even going to hear me. Let me encourage you to pray anyway, because God said so. By the way, there's no better place for you to get your heart right than in prayer. So okay, if your heart's not right, get it right. Get it right in prayer. And you're right, Psalm 66:18. We'll probably look at that in a little bit. But let's look at just a few. We could look at every single book and find one. Let's just do three in a row. Look with me at Ephesians. And again, some of these you'll know. I know I'm preaching, you know, kind of to the choir, in some cases literally. And I'm also, I realize, preaching to people who are here on a Sunday morning, or a Saturday morning. You're doing the right thing. This isn't Sunday where you have to come to church. This is Saturday. It's optional. Thank you for being here. And I'm not trying to beat you up. I want to remind you and encourage you and help you to pray and not feel like it's a complete waste of time, because it's not. So here's Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 18 and 19. Again, you know these things. Praying always. Wait, what does that mean? Whether you feel like it, don't feel like it, feel like you're right with God enough, don't feel like you're right with God enough, feel like it, don't feel like it, half asleep, wide awake, in the mood, not in the mood, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And oh, by the way, while you're doing that, and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Okay, so you don't know what else to pray for? I tell you what, pray for me this weekend, that God shows me what to say, so I'd stop saying stupid stuff and give you what God wants you to have. You know, pray for yourself, pray for me. But we could pray for each other all the time, always, whether you feel like it, don't feel like it. By the way, these encouragements are not just for you. They're for me too. I got to remind myself, because I struggle with it like you do. I've got flesh like you do. All those disciples had flesh. That's why they're falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night that Jesus is betrayed. Wow. But pray always. Okay, so the next book, Philippians. Next book. So we're in Ephesians, Philippians. We'll just do a couple in a row. We could look at all of them. Philippians 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4. Let's see. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Be careful, full of care, the way we would probably say it now. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. What does he care about, that stupid little thing I'm dealing with? I mean, I got a flat tire. Everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. No, not complaining all the time, but with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And by the way, what follows that? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall. You mean I can actually have more peace if I'm praying? You mean I can actually have more peace if I'm praying? Yes. But Pastor Weiss, the world that we're living in, it just has no peace. You realize you could maybe have some more peace while you're praying. So again, 1,000 things. Next book, Colossians. So you've got to keep moving. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Colossians 4, continue. Continue? What do you mean continue? It's assuming you hadn't stopped. And if you haven't, start up again and then just continue. Okay, so continue. I love the words of the Bible. Continue in prayer and watch in the same, like you're watching, you're a guard on a guard post at night on your night midnight watch. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. Wow, that matches the last one. With thanksgiving, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And again, you guys know this probably just go on and on and on and on, book after book after book after book, where it's saying, pray, 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 pray. You need to pray. Pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. Pray about everything. Pray about the big stuff. You know, you sang about that. Okay, so when you were, temptation, did you think to pray? We just sang about that. What about when you're not in temptation? What about when somebody in your family hasn't died? What about when you didn't just get the news that you got cancer? What about when it's something small, like you don't have wisdom enough to know how to tie your shoes? I think that's one of the reasons maybe that the Lord, as we get older, takes some ability away, because we need to learn how to pray, I guess, more. Because, Lord, I can't even tie my shoes. Did you think to pray? The Lord tells us to pray. So here, number one, prayer is commanded by God. I mean, all the way through Scripture. Number two, it helps. We already saw some of this. It helps us. For this one, again, let's just go back where we started. Luke chapter 22. Prayer helps us. Ladies and gentlemen, let's turn this around just a little bit. Now, it's not that during this prayer conference you will feel no guilt. I can't guarantee you that. It's very possible that during the prayer conference you will feel some guilt. You'll feel like you haven't prayed enough. You've given up on it. You've given into that hyper-sovereignty of God thing. He's going to do whatever he wants, and so why pray about it, whatever. You might feel some guilt about something I don't know. But I want you to understand this. Stop and think about it, really. Do you know Jesus? Do you think that Jesus is telling the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray? Because he wants to give them one more way to fail as a disciple. One more way to fail. He just wants them to feel stupid. Oh, great, you told me to pray so I could not pray and then I could feel guilty. What's Jesus really trying to do here? I mean, you guys probably know this, okay? The Jesus that I know, the Jesus of the Bible, not Jesus with something downtown that says this is what they think Jesus would drive as an SUV. The Jesus of the Bible, he's trying to help these guys. He's trying to help the disciples. Go figure. He knows what they're about to head into. Do they know? Well, why would you pray? Everything's good. We just had the Passover meal. That's my favorite meal. I usually get really full of the Passover meal. I've been celebrating a Passover meal since I was a kid. We had a really good time. He did something different in there in the Passover meal and said, this is my blood and this is my body. But I didn't quite understand that. Maybe I'll understand it someday. But Passover meal, that was really fun. You know, after the Passover meal, when you eat that much, it's hard not to be sleepy. Plus, you know, it was really late when we had the Passover meal and we sang that hymn, and the hymn was kind of cool. But then we went out on the Mount of Olives. Usually Jesus goes off and prays by himself anyway. As a matter of fact, I remember the time where Jesus disappeared on purpose and he went into a mountain himself and prayed alone. And then we chased him down and I could tell by the look in his eye, he was kind of weary. This time, I'm sleepy, Passover meal. Can you hear the stuff in person's head? We're going to let Jesus pray like he normally does by himself. What's Jesus trying to do though with these disciples now? Hindsight being 20/20, what is about to happen? What's he trying to do? He's trying to help them to enter not into temptation. You don't know what's coming. You don't know how bad this is going to get. It's going to get real bad. Would that maybe apply to us in America? Do you remember there's somewhere in Scripture that actually says that sudden destruction is going to come when they say peace and safety? Oh, Donald Trump's in the White House. Peace and safety, all the right-wing people say. All right, and I'm conservative too, I get it. But when they say peace and safety, do you have any idea what's gonna happen tomorrow? We get nuked by China. Why pray? Sovereignty of God. He's going to do whatever he wants anyway. My prayers don't get answered. I don't know what excuses are in your head. What's Jesus trying to do? By the way, I know I'm talking fast. Who gets helped here? Who feels dumb? And why? Now, if anybody's going to feel dumb here, it's probably these disciples who are not doing what they were told to do. Do you ever do that? I guarantee you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a great big red spot on my forehead. Oh, I cannot believe that I did that. I don't need anybody in heaven to beat me up. I'll be beating myself up. I'd do that now. But you guys know the story. He's telling his disciples to pray because he wants to help them and have them not enter. He doesn't want them to fail. It's the opposite. He's telling them, you don't want to enter into temptation. I don't want you to fail. In verse number 40, when he was at the place, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. And again, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed. I think that's a fair thing for him to do. I'm going to let you pray on your own and see if you learned any lessons over the last 3.5 years. So I'm going to go off and pray by myself this time, and I'm going to see if you pray when I'm not around. And he goes off, and then, okay, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as my will, but thine be done. Who gets helped here? Verse 43. There appeared an angel unto, I emphasized when I read through it earlier, him. Who did the angel appear to? Had they been praying? Is it possible they would have seen something cool? They did on the Mount of Transfiguration. But an angel appeared unto him because they were asleep. And not only the angel appeared unto him and it's something cool to see, strengthening him. What good does prayer do? Even Jesus, see, he didn't get what he asked for. He asked if the cup could pass from him. That cup didn't pass from him. At least he had the strength to go through it. Maybe there's something you prayed about that the Lord didn't take that thing away from you, but he helped you to go through it. And I can say that now. Okay, the Lord didn't stop me from having a heart attack. I think that happened to you too, Mr. Cohan. But the Lord kept me alive. Amen. Amen, Kim. Praise the Lord. We're happy about that. Expected her to say amen. We're happy that Cohan's alive. I think my wife is happy I'm alive. He didn't take the trouble away, but he sure helped me go through. And I can. He's a very present help in trouble. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Wow, what a blessing prayer is, even when you go through that thing. It helps us. He not only commands us to do it, it'll help us. It helps us. Oh, I can't emphasize that enough, but I guess I got several more messages to preach. I'm going to emphasize it more later. God has your best interest in mind. The Lord Jesus Christ, who tells you to pray, has your best interest in mind. He is telling you to pray for your own good. I hope you believe that. It's true whether you believe it or not. But I hope you believe that. It's for your own good. You need it desperately. You need that more than the Packers being in the Super Bowl. Who even cares? We need prayer. Last thing, I'm going to remind you of something that I think I preached to some of you before, but it's really good for us to remember. And the depth of it, I don't even perfectly understand. Because perfectly, I don't have perfect understanding. Right now, I see through a glass darkly, then face to face. But at least it gives me a little peek. Let me peek with you at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We're going to wrap this up in the next 5 minutes. I'm the one rambling, so hurry up. Pastor Weiss, number 3. Shut up. Revelation chapter 5. Sometimes I talk to myself when I'm preaching, so you don't have to, so don't worry. Revelation chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8. Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. This is in reference to, quote, unquote, here's giant air quotes, quote, unquote, unanswered prayer. Unanswered. You ready? Unanswered prayer. Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Who is that? Having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. That's the book with the seals, by the way. And when he had taken the book, and the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Note, note, note. Ready, ready, ready. Here we go. Don't lose this. having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. There are vials in heaven that have prayers of saints, not prayers of angels, prayers of saints in them. What does he do with those prayers of saints? The seals begin to open. There's judgment that's going to happen. The Antichrist introduced all these different things that are going on. Okay, but wow, Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Again, I don't have time to get into all that with you because I don't perfectly understand everything in Revelation. If you think you do, you got another thing coming. Revelation chapter 8, verse, but this I know. Revelation chapter 8, verses 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, this picture is amazing. There's silence in heaven about the space of an hour. Nobody needs to talk anymore because all the talking's done. Your prayers and all that stuff, the time to pray is when? And there will be a time where all the talking is done. Silence in heaven about the space of an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the door, having a golden censer, and there was given him unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all, I love that word all, saints, upon the golden prayers. What prayers? Well, the prayers in the vials that he talked about earlier, and it's the prayers of all saints. The prayers are not forgotten before God, because maybe we didn't see it happen here on earth, but when judgment comes and that seventh seal is open and then the trumpets begin to blow, he offers the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And I want you to get this picture. The smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. He remembers our prayers when he's about to set everything right. He remembers our prayers when he's about to set everything right. Maybe my prayers weren't wasted then. Okay, maybe in this life I didn't see the answer that I wanted, or maybe I didn't see the answer at all. But is it possible that he's storing them up and someday he will set everything right? Is it possible he's storing it all up and someday we'll set everything right? Are your prayers a waste of time? Your prayers are not a waste of time. Let's have a word of prayer right now and we'll close. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity for us to go through these same basic things, things that some have probably thought about before, but good things for us to remember as we're headed into this prayer conference. Now, help us to pray and not fall asleep, but to pray fervently and to trust you. Sometimes it'll help us. Sometimes you'll adjust things in our life because of it. And whatever we don't understand, and help us to just leave those things in your hand and know that someday you're keeping track and you'll set everything right, your way, the right way. Thank you. Please bless this conference, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.